buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom producing and engineering our show for the, he's not temporary, short vacationing, Ray Allen. Ray giving, getting a little extra 4th of July weekend there. Well deserved for Ray. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 5th of July. Hope you had a wonderful Independence Day weekend. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, where we live stream the show at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Terry Bracey. Terry is our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Mr. Bracey has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's the senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, and he represents, among other clients, City of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just fine. It's a steamy Washington summer day, so I'm happy to be inside.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those iconic, when you think of Washington in the summer, today you've got it, right?
That's right. It used to be a colonial outpost for the British. They used to get extra pay for coming here.
I know you are very excited, a lot of people here in town, with the way Arizona, the U of A Wildcats did.
Bill, I loved it, and hats off to the new coach, Jay Johnson. What a first year, and that team was really something to see. To come in and the runner as runner-up in the national championship is just an accomplishment of real note. So, congratulations.
Terry, of course, the big news that everybody is talking about, the FBI recommending that Hillary Clinton should not face criminal charges, even though the FBI, well, even though she and aides were, quote, extremely careless in handling classified information on those emails. Extremely careless was the word that came out at the news conference today from the FBI. Your reaction, Terry Bracey?
Well, I think the, of course, the big thing is that the legal issue is now behind her. And that was a tremendous worry. But, of course, the political issue has been framed very clearly by Mr. Comey, who was very critical of her handling of the email account and her treatment of classified information. And all of that will be used by her opponents to what effect we'll have to see. This is really about, this whole campaign is really about, who will it be about? Will it be about Mrs. Clinton or will it be about Mr. Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it's because of all his slip-ups and whatnot, and his controversial statements and so on, it's been about Trump. Now the question is, can they turn this around, use this email and maybe something else that might happen to make this a campaign about Hillary Clinton? If they do, they're really in the ballgame.
Have you ever, in your long history following politics, seen anything like that where you have kind of these two very strong personalities that the public, so many of the public, folks don't like either candidate?
Well, there was a time when Bill Clinton became very unpopular due to the Monica Lewinsky business, and he was being impeached by another unpopular guy named Newt Gingrich. And I think as I look at the situation politically, there's more of a parallel there. and if you think about that, they were both unpopular at the moment. Gingrich had his victory in that he was able to get an impeachment vote, but when it went to trial in the Senate, he lost. And so Clinton survived. Mrs. Clinton is a survivor. And it was amazing when you think about it how quickly that whole issue went away and we moved on to other things. And Bill Clinton kind of restored his presidency. It'll be interesting now to see if Mrs. Clinton, with kind of a lesser challenge, but if she can put this away.
How about all this talk of a convention coup coming up later this month in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention?
Well, there are 300 or 400 delegates, Bill, as you know, who are making a last-ditch effort to defeat Trump. Their strategy is to go to the Rules Committee and then the convention and say, let's change the rule that says if I was elected as a, say, a Trump delegate, I have to vote for Trump on the first ballot. Instead, let's put in a conscience clause, a conscience rule, which says that any delegate could vote for whomever he or she feels would best lead the country. And that's what the fight's all about.
And the chances of success, you would rate quite slim, I would imagine.
I think it will certainly fail. We'll see some drama. But in the end of the day, the Trump campaign will overwhelm the opposition.
How's the Democratic convention looking?
Well, if there are no more surprises, it should be a love fest. little noticed, I think, Bill, is the work going on with the Democratic Policy Committee writing the platform, and it's really become kind of Bernie's platform. It's more his program than Hillary's, his position on jobs, health care, trade, and these were the concessions he was seeking. So, you know, all things being equal, I think he'll be given a major speaking opportunity where he is expected to fully embrace Hillary's candidacy.
I think this whole thing with the British exit from the European Union has pointed out how flawed polling, in many cases, Terry Bracey, has become. A lot of people don't have landlines anymore. It's hard to get a real good sample of the kind of the pulse of the people, because look how the British exit vote way off. The pollsters had said that right up until the vote, that Britons would stay in the EU. Didn't happen.
Well, that's one of the reasons that it's really hard to figure this election in traditional terms. And it's hard for other reasons, too, Bill. We're really in uncharted waters. Never in our history has every branch of our government been in such disrepute. According to the poll research, which is very independent and very good, only 19% of the American people today trust their government.
Wow.
When I started voting in 1964, the LBJ Goldwater contest, fully 77% of Americans trusted their government to act responsibly. Senator Goldwater, as you know, was crushed in that election, but Bill, I catch myself wondering how he might have fared under today's circumstances.
So what do you think, Trump has a shot?
I haven't ruled it out. This email issue doesn't help Clinton. And, it all revolves around the question, can they turn this campaign into a focus on Hillary Clinton? If they can, Trump's in the ballgame. But we'll have to see how that works out.
You know, both candidates have been talking about what they would do in the first 100 days. As I listen to their agendas, Terry Bracey, it occurs to me that nothing demonstrates their differences more than the things that they would do first. Do you agree with that?
I do, yeah. Let's take Trump. He says at the end of his first 100 days, the wall with Mexico will be designed An immigrant ban on all Muslims will be in place. Repeal of Obamacare will be underway. And an audit of the Federal Reserve Board will have been started.
Is that
so
all?
His start will be anything but peaceful. It'll be aggressive and divisive. Clinton, on the other hand, when asked, said first thing she would do is quickly reach out to Republican leaders to see what compromises could be made. She would maintain the Obama policies on immigrants. Interestingly, she hopes to fill a cabinet half with women appointees in an attempt to bring more collaborative government to Washington. She thinks women do it. And she would unleash a massive infrastructure program.
Hmm. Well, it's quite a difference. You kind of wonder, can anything like that even be done by either of those candidates? You've seen a lot of first 100 days in your career. And
I have.
What's the realistically?
That whole notion, you know, was popularized by FDR, who arrived in office with the nation, you know, in desperate shape, a depression and bread lines. And he actually made the first 100 days work. But no one else has, and that's been, Bill, that's been almost, I hate to say it, because we're getting up there, but it's been almost a century.
Yeah. Terry Bracey, thank you very much. Terry, I hope you stay cool in a very hot and steamy Washington, D.C. today. Thanks, Terry Bracey.
Okay, Bill, fun to be on.
Oh, Terry, one more thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your op-ed piece, I wanted to quickly bring folks' attention to that. Thought that was a good read. That was about a week ago, wasn't it, in the Arizona Daily Star?
Yeah, it was. It was a fun little piece to write. And basically my theme was something that I've relearned having to rehab from a knee operation, is that the importance of neighborhoods and people and how much we really have in common. That's not reflected in our politics. And that at the end of the day, you know, we live in the best neighborhood on earth. It's called America.
Yep.
And I think sometimes it's a good time on the 4th or the day after to remember that.
Terry Bracey, thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
All thanks, right, Terry Bill. Bracey,
bye.
Contributing to our program, one of 24 contributors, another contributor who is here every week, and we appreciate it very much, is Shelley Fishman. Shelley will have the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, but first I want to tell you about our friends over at Green Things. They have, well, expanded from 4 acres now to 13 acres, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. I love these weekend workshops they're doing over there, free workshops, 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday, and a different gardening topic each weekend. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com for all the details. We'll be right back with Shelley.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for the monthly showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morales. Plus, we'll talk with Tucson-based novelist Lydia Millett. Buckmaster live noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We've got live streaming podcasts and anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com.
Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we're proud to consult with Shelley Fishman at about 12:20 every Tuesday here on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And your dog survived the 4th of July fireworks.
She did. She's absolutely
with her paws over her head, you know.
She's indifferent to that noise. Don't ask me why.
I don't know why, because a lot of the animals, of course, have a very hard time over the 4th. But anyway, the market, well, not so good today.
No, the market's down about 120, 125 points today. Not unexpected. We had a really good month of June, as it turned out, one of the better months. But, of course, we were starting from a pretty low bar. So we recovered nicely in the month of June. Then we had Brexit. And now the markets are trying to figure it out. And it's in the figuring out that the uncertainty lies.
Yeah, that June is probably one of the weirdest months we've seen in a long time for the market. You had the big bloodbath after the exit vote,
right,
and then almost a complete recovery.
Almost, actually, so very close to a complete recovery.
The numbers will probably be pretty neutral.
So far, we're about where we started the year, a little bit up on the year, and we'll see how today kind of winds up. But as I was saying, not as fluently as I would have liked to last week, because I was still kind of noodling it through, I think, is, has anything fundamental changed in the markets that would result in a change in what we would normally forecast for a year of, you know, mid-single digit kind of gains? And unfortunately, I've come to the conclusion that something fundamentally has changed. And that fundamental change now is that the uncertainty around what will happen to the economies of the UK and also the European economies that have been so intricately linked with the UK, that right now it's tough to see how we don't see permanent effects. For instance, we know that the pound has now been devalued against most other currencies, certainly the euro, but also the dollar.
Yeah.
And the yen. What happens in a case like that is that would tend to make European exports more attractive, or rather UK exports more attractive. The problem there, of course, is if that has the effect on the U.S. of making our exports less attractive because the difference is now greater and our dollar is even stronger than it was, and if that bleeds over to an increasingly weak euro as well, it means our largest trading partners, which we will now call the UK and the European Union, will have a harder time buying our stuff. And that is not going to be good for our manufacturing. And we're, you know, we've been seeing surprisingly strong manufacturing numbers, even though we've been talking about the effect of the strong dollar on manufacturing. And yet, if you take a look at that curve and look at it over 2 years, you're seeing that the ability of U.S. manufacturing, especially in durable goods, to hold their own has suffered. And a very weak number that came out, I believe, this morning, though inventories were down. So again, it was one of these, on one hand, it's a weak number. On the other hand, there's a bright light at the end of the tunnel. So it's so hard to know. And any time you have somebody saying about markets, it's hard to know, then you have uncertainty and volatility.
So it's going to be harder for American manufacturers to sell our goods in Europe.
If, in fact, the euro stays low relative to the dollar, and if the British pound sterling remains at current levels, it becomes very, very hard for them to pay. In addition, we're seeing the likelihood that the British Central Bank will devalue or have the effect of devaluing by stimulating, and just to keep the economy afloat right now. And if it does that, that will weaken the pound even more.
For investors, should they rethink their foreign investments?
Yes. And I hate to be that definite about it, but one of the problems with most portfolios today is they have more exposure to international business. Even if they don't have a lot of exposure to international equities, they have a lot of exposure to international business because most companies today, especially in the major companies, the S&P 500 and certainly the Dow, are international companies by definition. Many of them do 50% or more of their business overseas. And so the average portfolio today has more international exposure than people think. Plus, because people have so many funds in their portfolios,
right,
there's a lot of repetition that they don't know about and haven't tracked. Mm-hmm. So I really think it is vitally important for every investor to take a look at their portfolio and see where their international exposure is, where their exposure to U.S. firms that are highly reliant on exports are, and then sit down with their advisors and have a conversation about the proper balance and the time frames for expectations that their portfolios will do well in the near term.
All right. Question for Shelley from caller Matthew.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Matthew. Go ahead.
Hey, Shelley. Something that occurred that didn't get a lot of attention was that I hope you talked about is the what effect it has is the Puerto Rican bailout did occur. And I was hoping you'd talk about that as what you think effect that'll have on the economy for the U.S. And secondly, what if the Chinese devalue? What's the potential for that? Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks for the questions, Matthew. Let's take the easier one first. Puerto Rico, of course, is not a state. They had no ability to declare a bankruptcy that would give them protection from their creditors. And I'm embarrassing myself right here. Did the Senate actually pass something last week?
I think so.
I think they did. So there will be something more gradual. Mm-hmm. Puerto Rico does not make up a very large portion of the U.S. economy.
Kind of a minor player.
Yeah, it's a minor player. Nevertheless, people, again, there's this whole issue of uncertainty. If people are feeling uncertain about the economy and the strength and safety of, for instance, municipal bond funds, then they're going to get uncertain about investing in those things. So anytime you get that kind of uncertainty, you can increase volatility. As far as the Chinese devaluing again, I have heard some rumors that they were looking at it. It could be very, very disadvantageous to our exports. The Chinese are very worried about the pace at which they are able to become self-sustaining on a consumer middle class. They had hoped to be there by now. They're not. And as a result, their economy has some real vulnerabilities. Now, okay, so the bad news is it makes our exports less attractive. The good news, it makes their stuff cheaper to import. We import a lot of their stuff. It also could very well make imports from China to other parts of the world more attractive. And the world right now is kind of in the doldrums when it comes to that kind of trade. So the short-term effect of the Chinese devaluing could actually be positive. The longer-term effect is that it increases the trade imbalances and just, you know, sets up imbalances forever. And those kinds of things are things we have to look at. It's not an easy question, Matthew. I appreciate the question. It's a tough one to really get to. I would say the short-term effect could be good. The longer-term effect, not so good.
All right. So it sounds like, bottom line, though, fundamentally things have changed.
I think fundamentally things are changing. And whenever you get a fundamental change, that's something to watch very, very carefully because it will increase volatility.
All right. Talk to your financial planner. Hopefully that's Shelley Fishman, who is available by going to buckmastershow.com, where we have a nice direct link over to Shelley, and he will call you back.
I certainly will. That's really the best way to get there.
It is. Thanks, Shelley. Have a great week.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We've had some wonderful early rain here in Tucson. Same thing over in that beautiful corner of southwest New Mexico and Grant County. Really beautiful area, the historic downtown Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Great hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, which is all greened up and looking real good after the early monsoon rains. So check it out. southwestnewmexico.org is their website. They have the full listing of the many places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, and the many things to do, like the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, the most high-profile Justice of the Peace race, Pitt's attorney Jeff Rogers, who was on our show last month. Mr. Rogers, of course, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, and he is running against former state Senator Paula Aboud in Justice Precinct Number 6, and we wanted to bring in Mr. Rogers' opponent so you could get a chance, our listeners, to meet both the candidates. Paula Aboud, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be back.
You served as a state senator for about 7 years.
Seven years. Yeah. I took Gabby's place when she resigned to run for U.S. Congress, and the Board of Supervisors selected me. I think that was because I was such a Democratic stalwart. I was a doer and a leader. So it was a great experience.
Why Justice of the Peace?
Well, I was term limited out of the Arizona Senate, and we have good people in the legislature now, so I'm looking somewhere to be of service. I mean, my whole life I have been of service. I've been a teacher, I've been a mediator, I've been a coach, I've been a life coach. My passion in my being is to be of service. That's why I decided to be a politician. I stepped into Gabby's shoes so that I could help on a bigger level. And so now being Justice of the Peace means instead of, you know, helping the whole state and making laws that impact just, all the citizens of Arizona, this is going to be a one-on-one situation where I'll be working one-on-one with the defendant.
And Jeff said that it's a favorite retirement place for former state lawmakers. You don't see that necessarily as a negative.
No, I think you could say it's a retirement place for lawyers just as well. I mean, it's not a retirement place. This is a place of great opportunity and great potential, particularly for the individuals that are coming into the courts. This is typically their first place where they intersect with the judiciary system. And the opportunity to make a difference in their life, to help them get on the right track, is absolutely critical. And my background as a teacher, as a mediator, as a life coach, even as a senator, my life is about helping people make really great choices. And it's not like they're hardened criminals. they're at a juncture in their life where they can go either way. And my commitment to my community is to make sure that I help people be the best person they possibly can. And that's what I'm going to do in that role.
When would someone actually typically go before a justice of the peace? What would the circumstances be?
Well, most people typically associate a traffic citation. It can be a domestic violence issue. It can be because of a DUI. It could be for a restraining order, you know, orders of protection. It could be for a small claims. So there, it could be a pre-felony evidentiary hearing. So it's there are a variety of times that individuals would show up in the courts.
And you don't have to be an attorney.
Well, no. I mean, the Arizona Constitution never required one to be any profession. They ask that you be a voter, that you live in the district, that you be able to read the English language. You know, in our early founders, they were the ranchers, and they believed in common sense. And so a balanced court system, a balanced justice system, will have some lawyers and some really wise, really smart, really capable, caring, compassionate individuals as their justices. And, you know, I hear that from lawyers, I hear that from judges. It's not the background, it's not the profession that you come from, it's the qualities that you bring and the life experiences that you bring.
And justice, or precinct number 6, covers what areas, Paula, about?
Well, it's impossible to name it, but picture a semi-straight line from Himmel Park up to Cortero Farms and the interstate. It's a thin slice.
But it's a big district.
Quite big. Yeah. And over half of it has been my old legislative district and my Ward 3 district, where I was involved in neighborhoods and involved with constituents. So I'm getting to know the northwest side, and I hope people are listening. I'd love to be their justice of the peace.
And the voting will begin, believe it or not, very soon.
Less than a month. Less than a month.
It's hard to believe. So, again, the JP cases include traffic citations, landlord-tenant issues, DUIs, domestic violence, restraining orders. In many ways, you're a mediator.
Oh, I am. And I am. And my training has been as a mediator as well. Besides the fact that I was born into a family of half Republicans and half Democrats, and I lined myself up in the middle. I believed from early childhood that the best place for me was to be in the middle, to hear both sides and to get the best information from both sides and be able to make the best decision. And so that was why I went into being a mediator, was to help people see the other side. And I've grown up with lawyers. I mean, About and About law firm has been practicing law in Tucson for over 80 years. So I've grown up with lawyers, and we do need lawyers in our community. I don't know that we need them in the courtroom as well as in the judge position as well. And I think that's probably why our founders said, you don't need to be anybody particular to be a justice.
Well, certainly the Democratic voters have two very qualified people, and that is sometimes that's not a choice that we see very often, two very qualified people. So are you framing the campaign? Is there anything in particular that what your position is different than Jeff Rogers in this race?
Well, I think the people of Arizona know me because I've served them for so long, and they have a degree of trust, a recognition of my hard work, my commitment to the community. And I think that, above all else, is what stands out for the citizens, and that they want to put somebody in that seat that they know, who has a demeanor that meets the needs of the people that are in those stressful situations when they come into a courtroom.
And I believe there is no Republican candidate.
So the primary, which is on August 30th, mm-hmm. is the final vote. And that's why it's so critical for everybody to pay attention. We have a couple of very interesting primary races coming up, ours being one, but county attorney is another one, mm-hmm. and the county superintendent of schools. So
very unusual to have a primary where it pretty much decides it all. Very important races, certainly.
Well, I think it's not uncommon in Tucson, in Pima County, because it's such a Democratic stronghold.
Yeah. Paula Aboud, thank you very much. Where can people find out more about you?
AboudForJustice.com is my website. Go there and you can click on the map and see if you live in the district or not and what I stand for and how to communicate with me. Thank you, Bill, for hosting both of us so that the public can hear us.
Yeah, and if people would like to hear the interview with Jeff Rogers, that's on my website, buckmastershow.com. And this interview with Paula Aboud will also be posted, which it's a nice service. It lets people hear both of you speaking about
Thank
this
you,
office.
Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right, we'll be right back. 12:44 coming up now here on the Buckmaster Show, our monthly segment with the former dean of the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Dr. Ray Woosley. It's our Your Meds segment. What's going on with these hand sanitizers? The FDA says maybe we need to take a look at those. Be right back. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:48 on this, what feels like a Monday, of course, but It's Tuesday. It's time for our monthlies. And because it's Tuesday, we try to do the first Tuesday of the month. We bring in Dr. Woosley, Dr. Ray Woosley. It's our Your Meds segment, a segment focusing on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean. He's the founder and now president emeritus of the very successful organization based here in Tucson known as the Critical Path Institute, CPATH for short. And Dr. Woosley's latest successful venture, this man has success written all over him, the creation of Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Very simple to use website about your medication. Check it out, crediblemeds.org. How are you today, Dr. Woosley?
I'm great after a wonderful fourth. Good to be with you, Bill.
Yeah, it's great. And you got away up to Wyoming for a few weeks. Very nice.
Spent a couple of weeks up in the cooler weather. As soon as it hit 115, I said, I'm out of here.
There you go. And you caught some fish.
A few.
Yeah.
Catch and release.
There you go. Catch and release. Yeah. What's all this deal about these hand antiseptic kind of hand washes that are very, very popular with people?
Well, it's an evolving story, and it's one where the FDA announced a week or so ago that they're trying to play catch-up, because hand sanitizers have been around for a long, long time. People have known for many years that you ought to wash your hands, and sometimes you can't. So they developed these hand sanitizers with alcohol or ethanol, which is, you know, drinking alcohol, or isopropyl alcohol, rubbing alcohol. And then there's benzalkonium chloride, which is kind of a detergent. So these have been on the market, but they were never used very much until more recently, when there's been a major push. Well, with these resistant bacteria, mm-hmm. people go in the hospital and they come down with these horrible infections. So doctors were told to wash your hands all the time. And it turns out that sometimes there's not a sink, so they would use these hand sanitizers. But they've never been studied for safety in the way they're being used now. They've been tested in the era when they were used occasionally. Now doctors and nurses are using these things 40, 50 times a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And we don't know for sure that that's as effective as hand washing.
Hmm.
So the FDA is playing catch up and saying, give us some data on the new environment with these hand washes. There's actually one example my daughter was actually telling me about at the National Institutes of Health, where one of these hand sanitizer bottles had an infection in it, and it spread it to the whole hospital.
Wow. That's scary.
It is. And I think it's just comes back to we need to do everything in moderation, or don't overdo anything, and know that these hand sanitizers can work, but hand washing is really the best.
And when you wash your hands, don't just run some water in maybe a few seconds. It needs to be a little bit longer, doesn't
it? Oh, yeah. Exactly. And people often would just splash some water on it. You really need to use soap. You need to scrub for about 20 seconds. Make sure you get under your nails. Use a dry towel. And that can help prevent infection. The other thing I encourage people to do is, when you're ill, mm-hmm. make sure you wash your hands a lot and encourage the people around you to do that. If you're in the hospital, make sure that maybe you need to remind your doctor or your nurse when they walk in, you were probably going to go wash your hands, because they're trained and they're expected to wash their hands before they see you and after they see you.
And when you walk into the examining room, you will see most likely a sink.
Mm-hmm.
For the doctor to wash his or her hands.
Hopefully is the word, because I confess that in medical education, it was never emphasized enough, the importance of hand washing. And our infectious disease colleagues remind us as often as they can. And doing that simple thing can really reduce hospital-acquired infections, which today are MRSA, these multi-drug resistant organisms, the flesh-eating bacteria, which you can catch in the hospital or even in the doctor's office.
And for those wondering, is the hand sanitizer just as effective as washing one's hands thoroughly. I guess there was a recent study in New Zealand that really found no difference.
No difference.
Between the hand washing and the hand sanitizer.
Right. Yeah. And that was an environment where they were looking at children and seeing if it could reduce absenteeism in school due to illness. And it was about the same. But it was an aggressive program where they really trained people in how to wash their hands, children. And most of us don't get that. So anything that we do, we need to make sure we do it right and we don't overdo it.
790-2040, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Woosley, he'd be happy to entertain that. What was this study that came out of Canada about pharmacists?
Right. There was an article in the Arizona Star this week about the pharmacist can help you. And, you know, that's been our message all along. First, we say you are the most important member of your healthcare team,
right.
But there are others. And the emphasis here is team. The pharmacist is a very good resource for all of us. Unfortunately, we often just pick up our pills and run. But they offer to counsel, and we should do that.
Highly trained. You don't get a pharmacy degree just by going to class a couple of days.
No, that's right. There's a lot to learn, and they learn a lot.
There's a lot to learn, and in many cases they are. It's a highly paid profession and a very good profession. But this study seemed to feel that they should be even get more training.
Exactly. Yeah. This study found that if you give special training, which you can become certified in medication management, pharmacists with that training can actually reduce the incidence of heart attacks and strokes and heart disease. So it is an important resource. This was a Canadian study. It's not being offered in this country broadly yet, although Sinfonia RX, a company that spun out of the University of Arizona, has been very successful. They have 100 pharmacists who work on the phone to help Medicare patients and others manage their medications. And data has shown that you can really improve health outcomes if you use support of a pharmacist with physicians and nurses and the other members of the team to use your medications the way they were intended.
Yeah, I mean, take advantage of the pharmacist and the knowledge that they have. They aren't just a clerk who can ring up all of your all of your items at that particular time with the coupons and everything. I mean, they've got a very important job to do and fulfill.
And you make an important point. Sadly, they deal so much with insurance today.
Yes.
Instead of being asked to use their professional skills, which we need to ask for. We encourage everybody to go to our website and create what we call Med Safety Scan. It's a list of all your medicines. It will tell you if there are any major problems from the cardiac standpoint. Print that and take it to your pharmacist and say, look, you've got a record there, but here's what I'm really taking. And make sure that they run, they keep a current record of all the medicines that you're taking today.
One of our listeners also wanted you to touch on West Nile virus and the Zika virus. A lot of people are very worried about that.
And they should. The West Nile has been around for a while, and there are people, I don't recall the actual numbers, but a lot of people in Arizona have contracted West Nile. There have been deaths. It is a serious infection. Zika, on the other hand, is a new infection that has been isolated now in several of the southern states.
Tropical. Areas too.
Right, all over the South America. Mm-hmm. And the horrible part about the Zika virus is it's transmitted by mosquitoes, and pregnant women who have the Zika infection often will have brain babies with brain malformations. Actually, brain's almost missing. Anencephaly, it's called. And these horrible birth defects and other effects of Zika are out there. And Congress has not taken action. This is another example where they've been sort of held up arguing about what to do. They're saying, we want to put money into Zika, but we want to take it away from Ebola. And that kind of argument has kept Congress from appropriating the kind of money that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC it's called, needs to help us fight the Zika virus.
And when you are applying sunscreen, and some of these sunscreens have some kind of mosquito repellent in there. But again, sunscreens are not all created equal, and that perhaps can be another topic because there are a lot of questions that people have. They think, well, this one shows that it's going to give me total protection. Mm. I don't think any of them really give you a total protection.
Depends on how you use them. And you're right. Much of the labeling for these is under scrutiny by the FDA right now.
Where can people find out more about Credible Meds?
The CredibleMeds.org website. Just as it sounds, is the way to get to us. We have about 70,000 registered users of our website right now. We get about 1,000 a day, 700 new visitors every day, and 100 of those register to be kept up to date on their medicine. So we encourage everybody to do that.
And type in the name of the medication and then...
Put in the name of the medicine. It'll help you spell the medicine. It'll tell you if it's one of those that we know can cause heart attacks and stroke, heart attacks. We are making it user-friendly so that you can email that list to your doctor or your pharmacist. And there's a printable version you can carry in your wallet, which we encourage everybody to do.
Dr. Woosley, thank you very much. We'll see you in August.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, we do 5 hours here of local talk. My show, noon to one, and then we have 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. That show comes up this afternoon at 4, and then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 in the Daily Double with Christy Simone and a different guest host every day. I'll be back with you for our Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Lydia Millette will be our guest, a very famous author who happens to reside here in Tucson. Also, our monthly showdown with Sean McCluskey and David Morales tomorrow. Full show. Back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.